All right, Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider, will join us in a moment. Leafs back in action tonight, and they're in Ottawa. You can watch the game on TSN4. Brady Tkachuk has a new deal, but he will not be playing tonight. 7 years at $8.2 million per, which is an expensive deal.
Yeah.
Like, that's a pretty good deal for Tkachuk. I love him as a player. Love him as a player. But that's a big chunk of change. That's a market deal. That's a, we're in Ottawa. We're not that good. We need him. He knows it. And
the cap's not a concern.
Exactly.
You know, we're not hitting it. We're not hitting the cap ceiling. We're closer to the cap floor.
Right.
And when the owner, you know, you listen to some of the comments coming out of the Pierre Dorion's press conference, when the owner steps in on Tuesday and says, get this done, you know you're probably going to overpay just a touch.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what Dorion, I guess, said, right? Like,
yeah.
Get it done, so then you get it done. Now, to their credit, no signing bonus, which doesn't affect anyone's life.
Just the owners for paying.
Just the owners, but that's their policy.
Front.
Yeah, that's their policy. We don't give out signing bonuses, and Brady Tkachuk, he had to chew on that. So Tim Stützle, when he comes up next, he'll probably have to do the same thing. And I give him credit for that. But Kachuk's he's a very effective player. He's a guy who I think can score 30, will score 30 in the league, but hits everything in sight.
Yeah.
He aggravates everyone that's on the ice.
Yeah.
And I think the Leafs are lucky not to have him in the lineup tonight, because I think Ottawa will come out flying, home opener, fans in the building. Although I assumed that out of Tampa 2 nights ago. I assumed it out of the Leafs last night. It didn't happen.
Yes.
But the Leafs are going to have a better start tonight, for sure, because they didn't have a great start. But Campbell kept them in it, and they got some big production out of Pierre Engvall, William Nylander. And then I think defensively in the third, they held the fort together, which is an important element of success.
It is.
And what they have to continue to do. So 2 points in the bank if you're the Leafs. You move to Ottawa, you see what you have tonight. Here is our TSN Hockey Insider, Pierre LeBrun. What do you make of this Brady Tkachuk deal, Pierre? Like, what sticks out to you about the contract and the dance that they just went through and the fact that it was concluded before opening night for them?
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it was not a guarantee that this got done. And I think, in fact, even over the last 72 hours, my understanding is that when it looked like it was done, something went a little off, and then they had to, both sides had to get back at it. So it was far from a smooth ending. you know, between structure and no move clause. And I will say this, and this is probably the most underrated part of I think Brady Tkachuk being willing to go long term, because as you guys have heard and probably knew, you know, they were more focused on a shorter term deal for a while on the Newport side. But one of the key elements in cementing the deal over the past few days was Brady Tkachuk getting assurances from the Senators that, you know, they are going to spend more and spend to keep this young core together as they get older and spend to become a team that can contend. Tells you a lot about this young man's leadership skills and the fact that he's not just thinking about his deal. I mean, let's be honest, he's getting paid no matter what happens. But he had other things on the table that mattered to him. And I thought that was really interesting. And there's a reason why he'll be the captain of that team.
Yeah, they don't have a captain. Haven't had one, Pierre, since Erik Karlsson left the building. You're expecting him to be that. But I'm interested in that wrinkle because, you know, we'd heard that Tkachuk wanted a bridge deal, probably for some of the reasons you just outlined, that you know, he didn't want to be tied to a team that had no intention of spending the money required to win. He didn't want to see the next Mark Stone walk out the door or the next Erik Karlsson walk out the door. But when you say you get assurances, like, how can you trust those assurances? Because once you sign, you've signed.
Well, I mean, listen, if down the road he feels betrayed, I guess he can ask for a trade.
Yeah.
He is represented by some pretty powerful agents.
No doubt.
So, I mean, that trust cuts two ways. You can't – obviously, you're not getting assurances on paper. It doesn't work that way. But whatever he heard clearly resonated, because that was an important element of him, A, finally agreeing in the late stages here to go to 7 years. But some back and forth. I mean, the Senators ended up over $8 million, where they didn't really want to be to begin with. And of course, Tkachuk got a full no move starting, I think, in 24-25, which is rare for an Ottawa Senator, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's been a sticking point over the years in other negotiations. So this was a fascinating one on many levels, because, you know, and I think I give Pierre Dorion credit because, you know, he's negotiating with some pretty veteran guys and Don Meehan and Craig Oster at Newport, but also with a family, the Kachuk family, that has been, they have institutional knowledge, as I like to say, during this process. You know, Matthew Kachuk went hard in his second contract negotiation with the Calgary Flames. The old man, Keith Kachuk, went hard a bunch of times during his career, as you guys remember. Mm-hmm. So you're not just dealing with a 21-year-old kid who's going to get scared because opening night's around the corner. I mean, they were going to dig in. And if some of these things weren't going to happen for them, I think he's willing to sit out quite a while, like William Nylander did a few years ago. So, but again, I credit Pierre Dorion because not only was he facing those elements, which are a bit unique in terms of a family of NHL players who understand the process more than the average NHL player, but he's got he's got an owner that can be difficult to work for. And so ended up getting a deal that, listen, if you're a Senators fan today, as I tweeted, you're the winner. I mean, I think most Senators fans had resigned themselves to the fact that either they were going to accept the bridge or not see this guy for several weeks. So you could tell on social media today that Senators fans are overjoyed.
With Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider, I don't think you can say the same thing for Buffalo. And even though they're on the verge of a home opener tonight, there's a lot of rumors out there, will they sell out or not? I guess we'll find out.
Right.
But, you know, once they get this ball rolling, it's not going to be a fun ride. Buffalo's going to be awful. Everyone knows it. And the Jack Eichel story is just going to hang over it all. Is there any movement on that? Because now that Zibanejad is signed long-term with the Rangers, the belief is New York is out. So what other options are out there for Jack Eichel?
Yeah, and I checked with a Sabres source today, and I basically got the sense that it was status quo, which is not negative, because as we reported last week, things had finally started to unfreeze on that front. But teams now, because they got medical info, had started to circle back to the Sabres. So we're in the midst of that right now. I mean, that process is long. I do think there are potential landing spots for Jack Eichel. I mean, I think the Anaheim Ducks from the beginning have always made sense to me, because whoever trades for Jack Eichel this year knows that they're not getting him for at least 4 months, if not longer, depending on his recovery. So it has to be a team that probably doesn't think, or at least a team that knows that it can live without that kind of player, not to mention the players that you're sending back in that trade. So it's not for every team to be involved in it. I think St. Louis is an under-the-radar team lurking out there. Now, again, the Blues, they want to contend this year. That might be harder for them. Calgary, I know, has done its due diligence on him. I think that, I wonder at some level about San Jose, only because depending on what ends up happening with Evander Kane, if Evander Kane's off the books in some way or another, depending on what the NHL decides, suddenly they got cap room, and that Jack Eichel's 24 and the Sharks are trying to transition into a younger team. So I kind of wonder about them. So there are definitely options out there, but it's a tricky thing. I mean, once you come to a price for Jack Eichel, and part of that price will be conditional, right? I mean, you have to have assurances from the Sabres that depending on Eichel's health when he returns from this very unique surgery, that you're protected on some of the assets you're paying. So that's number one, and the Sabres know that. I reported that last week. But number two, he has to come to your team, meet with your doctors, have the surgery, and then have a long recovery. So this is a prolonged process here. We're not seeing Jack Eichel on the ice in another uniform for quite a while here.
Well, speaking of prolonged processes, Pierre, I saw your tweet, and I know you're going to speak about it on Insider Trading on TSN shortly, but the Montreal Canadiens filed a long-term injury letter to the NHL this week regarding Shea Weber, obviously their stud defenseman. The NHL seems okay with that. Now, let me ask you this. I understand he's a high-mileage guy at 36 years old, but I also just saw him play 25 minutes a night in the NHL playoffs. Is this like Kucherov 2.0, where he's going to take the whole year off, recover from whatever he's recovering from, and then be available to play and help that Montreal Canadiens team in a postseason run?
No chance.
Okay.
I mean, I think there's no chance. I don't think we're seeing Shea Weber ever play again. Wow. Is my sense of it. But to your point about him playing 20 minutes a night right to the last game of the Stanley Cup final, that's why the league, the last few months, has done a deep dive and has been doing its due diligence on his health.
Yeah.
Because how did he go from playing every night to not playing ever again, potentially?
Right.
So you get it. And by the way, the NHLPA has been very involved as well. But I think what they found out is what we've been hearing, is that it is nothing short of a miracle that he was playing. I mean, this guy put up with the kind of pain threshold that few players would ever do to get through those playoff games. And he is legitimately injured, and that's why the league has come down with this ruling today. But I do want to read what Bill Daly said here, because there is one word in it that gives me pause. His quote to me today was, "We are not currently challenging that Shea Weber satisfies the CBA requirements necessary to qualify for LTI." And so the word that stops me is currently.
Right.
And so my interpretation of that, and again, that is all Bill Daly wanted to say, the rest is my own interpretation, is I think that the league is going to stay on this and continue to monitor his health and check in on him and so on and so on. But again, unless I'm missing my own interpretation of things, I don't think Shea Weber's playing again. And this is a huge ruling for the Habs, because as a practical matter, when Carey Price comes back, they actually need Shea Weber's LTI space to be able to activate Carey Price,
right,
by the way.
Right.
So, because they basically spent Shea Weber's cap money this summer. They signed David Savard and made a few other moves. So I guess it would have been incredibly interesting had the league went the other way.
That's why it seems so fishy, Pierre. Not to diminish what this guy must be going through, and I'll take your word for it, but he did play 25 minutes a night right to the bitter end, no matter what he was going through. And the idea that, you know, if he had to play in a playoff game, you know, 6.5 months from now, doesn't seem like it's impossible, right?
I guess. From the people I've talked to and my read on it, it's highly unlikely.
Yeah.
But I guess, again...
But they wouldn't say otherwise right now, would they, Pierre? Like, they wouldn't be saying... No one would be saying, yeah, there's a chance he could come back for the playoffs right now, because that would set off alarm bells at the league, would it not?
It would, but again, like I said, I mean, Shea Weber wants to be playing. So
I understand that. No doubt.
I don't see it, I guess, is what I'm saying. This is not Kucherov. This is a lot more Brent Seabrook is what it is.
Right.
Now, Brent Seabrook's still getting paid for a lot of years, but he is beat up and done, right? I think that's what it's more so like. But I also understand why the NHL has to stay on it, because, when you don't retire, I mean, I tell you who, you know, the team that's also monitoring this closely is the Nashville Predators, because if Shea Weber were to actually retire at some point before the end of his deal, the Predators face some pretty serious cap recapture penalty, not the Habs. The Habs happened to catch Weber when his AAV pretty much matched his salary, not to bore our listeners to death, but the Predators were getting him on a much cheaper cap at the actual money they were paying him at the start of that deal. So if he were to actually retire, they would face some cap charges, much like the Canucks faced after Roberto Luongo retired before the end of his deal. Mm-hmm. But in this case, I don't think Shea Weber is going to retire. My guess is, you know, take care of your body and keep getting your salary until your deal is done, and then, that's that.
Yeah, which, again, is a really difficult line to draw. I mean, who's to say he can't play? You know, it's one thing you can't right now, but in 2 years, if he's physically capable of playing, I don't know how you test for it. I don't know.
Let's hope he is. I mean, that would be amazing.
No, I know, but it doesn't seem like that's in the – I don't think the Habs would like that. You know, in 2 years, they're probably like, no, you're done now, dude. We can't have you now when you're 38 and you haven't played in 2 years, you know?
Right.
Like I said, I
think it's end up being a moot point. But anyway,
we'll see.
That ruling from the league today is will certainly be noticed by a lot of teams, no doubt about
it. Absolutely. All right, buddy. Enjoy the games tonight. We'll do it again soon.
Right on. Okay, guys.